Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Speak in my private capacity, so nothing which I will say in a moment may be addressed to the Special Tribunal for Lebanon. I'm covering here from the perspective of The Hague, preliminary investigations in Germany, where I haven't practiced for about 17 years. And it was quite interesting for me to see what developments have been done in the years since the adoption, also in Germany, of the ICC statute. I'm addressing you on five topics. First, a very quick refresher, how Germany implemented the ICC statute. Secondly, the objectives of the implementation as a whole, as well as of pre-investigations conducted there. Thirdly, the measures which are being used in preliminary investigations. Fourthly, looking a little bit at the practice, what is the fate of certain preliminary investigations, and I will provide a quick conclusion afterwards. Starting with the implementation, pretty straightforward. Germany wants the ICC statute and ratified it. It entered into force in 2000, in December. The Code of Crimes Against International Law also just entered into force a day before the ICC became operational, or the ICC statute entered into force. We are having universal jurisdiction, even as a few countries such as Belgium have. War crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide are comprised, even with from the universal jurisdiction perspective. We have, or we had, this first 7 years, no specific war crimes prosecution. Only in 2009 it started, and I will come a little bit to talk about this, with three prosecutors. And the Kampala Amendment entered into force just in January of this year, where Germany and the German Code of Crimes Against International Law says we don't have universal jurisdiction over it. Currently, status March, we have seven prosecutors in this war crimes prosecutor's office, three of which are scientific advisors and four career prosecutors. The competent authorities, Germany addresses high level importance to obviously international crimes. So the first instance are already the higher regional courts, where we are talking, or where cases would come in front of five judges. And otherwise, and this is important for the purpose of this presentation, the Federal Prosecutor General sitting in Karlsruhe is competent, and he has a strong position, stronger than in ordinary criminal cases. The strong position is that he can open and close at his discretion investigations. And we have a limited judicial review, which in terms of quality control is important, meaning the only review by courts is to see whether the prosecutor didn't see his discretion when to open or close an investigation, or if he has applied arbitrary considerations, which is, let's say, very rarely the case. What is adding to the dominant position of the federal prosecutor is he can withdraw the charges even after they have been confirmed without court permission. Usually, that would be not the case in ordinary criminal proceedings. Here, until the day before the judgment, technically speaking, it has never occurred, the federal prosecutor could withdraw an indictment involving international crimes. What are the objectives of implementation? Pretty straightforward. Other countries have the same. Germany should be no safe haven for war criminals. Being also cautious with our Nazi past, Germany does not want to be seen as a world police officer. And principle of solidarity, Germany wants to make a contribution to the international fight against impunity. If we are looking now down to the purpose of this project, the objective of the pre-investigation, it is not that straightforward any longer. First, they are not codified in German law, neither for the international crimes nor for ordinary crimes. So we have to draw inferences what the objectives could be. Of course, it is to collect data to make the call that there are sufficient factual indications that an international crime has occurred. So far, it's clear. So distant indicia that such a crime occurred are sufficient. On the other hand side, the second law, which gives us certain indications, it relates only to the closing of an investigation. And we will see later, German prosecutors refer to reasons provided by the law there. Germany can close, or a German prosecutor can close, a preliminary investigation when there's no German suspect involved, no German victim involved. There's no concrete link to Germany. If there is, principle of legality is basically making mandatory prosecutions necessary. But if there isn't, under the wide discretion of the prosecutor, he can close it. And the principle of subsidiarity, do other states or the ICC prosecute? So it is in this context that the question is, what is now the objective of preliminary investigations in Germany? Straightforward put, the core, as Morten has mentioned this morning, is to clarify, the prosecutor clarifies, whether or not there are sufficient factual indications that an international crime occurred. So he has to evaluate known facts. And now we're coming to more political considerations. Is there a link to Germany? Concrete link, is the suspect on our territory? Or context considerations, which have to do with, are there other investigations already going on in that very prosecutor's office? And I'm talking about structural investigations. I will every now and then in this presentation deal with this, meaning investigations into situations, as the ICC would say, the situation of Syria, the situation of Iraq, and so on. So if there is such a structural investigation already in place, the prosecutor may ask himself, do I need to open that individual investigation, or rather address the complaint concerned as part or a subject as part of this structural investigation? It is already a structural investigation, a formal investigation, so it has formally been opened. The focus is not on persons, but this time on criminal structures. So, like, we have a structural investigation about ISIS, for example, in Germany, which is the modus operandi in which the war crimes or crimes have been committed. Who claims responsibility, as ISIS frequently does, for certain deeds, criminal deeds, and so on. So when the prosecutor's office, as part of a formal situation-based investigation, looks into the criminal structures. The conviction is, by just looking at the individual complaint, which may be subject of the preliminary investigation, one loses the overarching structure of the organization who's standing behind the individual crimes. What are now the measures available in German pre-investigations? From a human rights perspective, it's important to see none of the measures in a preliminary investigation can really infringe human rights. As I pointed out, it is not governed by law, it's not defined by law, so law cannot serve as a justification to infringe human rights. Rather, one has to wait for the formal investigation stage, and then formal questioning, then search and seizure, and then telecommunication monitoring or arrest can occur. But at the preliminary investigation stage, they can't, because it's only governed, these measures, after investigation has been opened. So the means of a pre-investigations are limited. Open source analysis, which every citizen could do himself or herself. Informal questioning only, which is the police goes out and asks potential informative persons. The thing then becomes, if finally after the pre-investigation an investigation is formally opened, what to do with this informal information? Can we use it in court proceedings? German law says only after a formal warning has occurred. Or the prosecutor can request available data from other state authorities and analyze it. I deal with this in a second. We have exchange of prosecution files, exchange of police files. We have exchange from information from intelligence services and foreigner databases, which are being kept in the asylum procedure. So that has, for the Syria-Iraq situation, become an issue, which is relevant for preliminary investigations. The Karlsruhe Federal Prosecutor's Office was consulted when a questionnaire was being developed. Each asylum seeker, and we had about 800,000 to 1 million in 2015 coming to Germany, could get, independent of the asylum procedure itself, a questionnaire was being asked, have you seen and witnessed war crimes, and what information can you provide? That data, if relevant, is then sent, if it's relevant, communicated back to the Federal Prosecutor's Office. But what's the purpose of this? Data is being collected. Is it for pre-investigation purposes? Can be. Is it then for a pre-investigation into war crimes, IHL crime, or into terrorism on German territory? Or does it go into structural investigation? I'm looking now at which structural investigations have been opened in Germany in the course of the Federal Prosecutor's Office's work. Initially, it started with Eastern Congo, Rwanda. The Arab Spring had been subject to a structural investigation. More recently, Syria and ISIS, which I mentioned already. With ISIS, it's in two countries, depending on which areas they occupied, Syria and Iraq. So it's a little bit difficult to get information about this, but I have tried to figure out between 2009 roughly and currently we have about 4 to 5 at least structural such investigations. So at the end of the preliminary investigation proceeding, what is the fate these pre-investigations took? A, they end at this stage, no further action taken, or it goes to the next stage, formal investigation, or C, even a trial and verdict follows. Examples for the end at the pre-examination stage, Falun Gong, had been, let's say, claimed to have been victim of certain, let's say, crimes committed by the Chinese authorities. 2003 criminal complaint was received and closed in 2005. Almatov, former foreign minister of Uzbekistan, parallel to the Pinochet situation in London, he had a medical treatment in Hanover, left the country, unlike Milosevic, before the criminal Pinochet, before let's say the criminal complaint was launched. So it came too late. It the federal prosecutor closed didn't even open the investigation. And Abu Ghraib was also closed without formal opening. Why? Location of crimes not in Germany, and I'm just here making it abstract. No German victims, no link to Germany, no significant clarifications of allegations by the German prosecutor's office expected. So these were all, is it quality control? These were all arguments given which are actually not going to the core of the allegations itself, but rather to the surrounding, in Morten, slide you had presented, the surrounding, rather political sometimes also considerations. Regarding Falun Gong, it was also referred to the immunity of a few members of government, citing the Yerudia decision. On Abu Ghraib, principle of subsidiarity was referred to. Meaning the Americans would investigate, so Germany would not. Investigations have been opened into a drone attack, as well as into Afghanistan, the bombardment of petrol trucks. The advantage was they were shortly opened, these investigations, then formal interviews could be conducted, but finally, the procedure was closed. And in Congo and Rwanda, Eastern Congo, two cases from preliminary investigation went all the way to trial. What is the conclusion? Because we don't have a proper codification yet in Germany, we have also difficulties with quality control. Uncertainty reigns. We have combined with this a strong prosecutorial position. So the prosecutor, in essence, need to control himself. Quality control can, at this point in time, only come from within the prosecutor's office. Put it differently, because his position is so strong, voices in the academia have claimed the court, with reviewing decisions of the prosecutor, should take a more proactive approach. That can, however, only occur if the law is A, being introduced, or the existing law of such judicial review is being strengthened or is leading to a strengthening of the court position. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.